Hey guys, Chris Brown here. Hey, don't forget that the Stewardship Conference is coming up May 16th through the 18th, and it's not too late for you to register. You know, I'm so passionate about this event that I want to provide an exclusive offer for our Leadership Momentum podcast listeners. We'll give you $50 off any registration price when you use the promo code MOMENTUM. So join Dave Ramsey, Perry Noble, Pete Wilson, and many more for the Stewardship Conference 2016. All you got to do is go to stewardshipcentral.org for details.
This is the Leadership Momentum Podcast with Chris Brown.
Well, hello, leaders. Welcome to another edition of the Leadership Momentum Podcast. We're excited to provide this for you, and I know you're going to be blessed today as you listen in to this May edition of the Leadership Momentum Podcast. My whole thought for this episode was, how can I encourage the church leader today? How this month, we're ending a ministry season for most of you. We do a spring and a fall, kind of two major ministry seasons. I know there's a few of you that really kick tail in the summer, and somehow you've been able to do that, which is, you're definitely a phenomenon that we're all learning from. But for most of us, spring and fall. And so here we are in the month of May, and we are kind of toning down, and we're going into the summer. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, where are you right now? Lead pastor, executive pastor, campus pastor, ministry leader, where are you right now mentally? And I got to thinking, okay, you're reviewing this last ministry season. You're thinking to yourself, you've got a couple things. You're either A, intimidated because everything that God is doing there in your ministry, and you're feeling like you don't measure up, that you've hit a ministry lid or you've hit a capacity lid, and you're like, I can't get past this. I don't know what the future looks like. I don't know what I don't know. Or you're sitting there right now, and you're discouraged. This last ministry season didn't meet expectations. It's kind of been a plateau, or maybe even a little bit of a decline season for you. But either way, going into the summer, you need just flat out encouragement. So that's the heartbeat behind this month's episode, is just to encourage you. And so this episode, our featured guest is Stephen Furtick. Pastor Stephen Furtick is the lead pastor at Elevation Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. And he'd planted Elevation, him and his wife, Holly, planted Elevation in 2006, so about 10 years old, 10 and a half years old. And he holds a Master's of Divinity degree from Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. Many of you don't know that, but he's a New York Times best-selling author of Greater, great book, Crash the Chatterbox. He's just an incredible author and a pastor and just an international leader. So I know most of you are aware of who Pastor Stephen Furtick is, but let me tell you a little bit about Elevation. They meet in 13 locations all across Charlotte, also in Raleigh-Durham, in Roanoke, Virginia, also in Toronto, Canada. I don't know if you know that or not. Average weekly in-person attendance is over 20,000 people, and 300,000 people average weekly viewers watching on TV. So it's pretty crazy stuff. The thing I love the most about Elevation Church is they've given away more than $20 million to local and national and global outreach partners over the last 10 years. So pretty cool stuff. But anyway, I want to make sure that you're encouraged this month. And so kind of sit back, relax, and enjoy some very powerful thoughts from Pastor Stephen Furtick. Well, folks, you've heard me talk about Pastor Stephen Furtick and his role in my life several times. And if you haven't, if you're new to this podcast, Pastor Furtick was huge in my life. I was going through the motions as a Christian husband and a Christian dad, and I was going to church faithfully. I was attending, and I was warming a seat. And this new church came to town in Charlotte, North Carolina, and I got a flyer in the mail that was for an egg drop, the famous first Elevation helicopter egg drop. And it was like 7 billion eggs from a helicopter or something like that. And I got jazzed about it, and I said, I'll go to this thing. And there's like this little small church of about 80 volunteers pulled off this 5,000, 7,000 person event, and it was done with perfect excellence. I got this CD and put it in my car, and I'm listening to this amazing worship on the way home, and about 10 minutes in, there is this vision casting from this guy named Pastor Stephen Furtick talking about this passion inside of him and how he's got to get it out, and that they're launching a church. And so the next Sunday, I went and visited at the Levine Center there in Charlotte, North Carolina, and I was hooked. I was attracted to the audacity and the passion. And today, I'm very honored to have Pastor Stephen Furtick on the podcast. Pastor Stephen, thank you so much for being with us.
Wow, thanks for sharing that. I loved hearing that. That brought back some good memories.
I don't know if I've told you all that stuff before.
Maybe not. Not in a 1 minute version like that, but it goes to show, you know, that I had no idea what was going on in your life. Mm-hmm. I was just doing what I felt like God called me to do. And sometimes we don't know the difference we're making until 10 years later. You know, you never know how God's using you.
Yeah. And my first call to ministry was you putting your hand on my shoulder. I don't know if it was during a volunteer meeting or if it was during a sermon. And you called out this call in me that, hey, listen, you're showing a lot of evidences of having the gift of evangelism and discipleship and caring about people and being pastoral. Let's investigate this. And so for the next several months, we kind of got in the car and traveled all around the Southeast and visited great ministries like North Point and Seacoast and learned all about multi-site way back in 2007 and got to know each other. And all that time, you're pouring into me and pouring into me. Let me, Pastor Furtick, one thing you don't know is while I'm in the back seat and you're casting vision to me over your left shoulder, what's going on inside my heart? What was going on inside of my heart then was I felt ridiculously unqualified to be in that car. You just wrote a book, Unqualified, How God Uses Broken People to Do Big Things. And as soon as I saw that title, I was like, I have got to get Pastor Furtick on the podcast, not only for Chris Brown's True Stewardship, but also on the Leadership Momentum podcast, because it means so much to me. But I know so many of my friends, my church leaders out there, no matter what size church they're in, they feel absolutely unqualified.
Yeah.
Where did you come up with this idea?
Yeah, I mean, it started actually as a criticism. And this is a good principle for leaders. Sometimes you got to take whatever's thrown at you and put that rock in your slingshot and fire it back in a positive way, a constructive way. So let me just tell you the quick version of the story. I was watching a sermon on YouTube, and they came with the next recommended thing for me to watch, and I put it on. And it was an interview with a theologian that I knew of. I knew a lot about the theologian, actually. I'd heard his name for years. He's a genius. And he was going through a lightning round where the interviewer was asking the theologian, what do you think about so-and-so? And what do you think about so-and-so? And they said my name. And I wasn't expecting them to say my name, so it caught me off guard. And the theologian's response when he was asked, what do you think about Stephen Furtick? His response was, unqualified. Mm. And the way he said it, it almost sent chills because he said it with this deep voice, unqualified. He said this one word, like this label, over my whole life and my whole ministry. And, you know, listening to the guy call me that, who had never met me before, it brought up all these thoughts and feelings inside of me. But what it didn't bring up within me was a sense that he was wrong. I kind of felt like, yeah, I totally feel that way. Just like you described, Chris, I felt like, thank you for finally putting a word to how I have felt my whole life and my whole ministry. And so I decided, instead of getting mad about it, I was going to write a book about it. I needed a title for my next book anyway. And I decided to just put the word out on the street that, hey, whether you're leading a family or leading a church or whether just in your life, because sometimes you can feel very competent in one area and like a complete fraud in another, to let you know that there's a club that God is creating of people, and he's been putting it together for thousands of years, starting with a murderer named Moses and a liar named Abraham and some fishermen and some tax collectors and some hypocrites and some people who didn't have what it took. He's been turning the world upside down throughout the pages of Scripture and even into our day through unqualified people. So I'm trying to send out a message to people that it is often the areas where you feel the weakest that God is going to reveal his greatest strength. And the book really talks about acceptance, accepting the fact that God loves you unconditionally, accepting the fact that you are who you're supposed to be. God's not in love with the future version of you. He's not going to use you one day when you get your act together. He's got a plan and a hope and a future for you that begins right now, and acceptance of God's process of change. And I think this is a vital message for leaders, especially in a social media age where we are comparing our warehouse with everybody else's showroom. You know what I mean when I say that, because we can put out a podcast, we can put together an Instagram account where the feed looks sexy, but there's not always a correlation between what we're presenting to the world and what we're experiencing inside. And so somebody needs to lift their voice, and we need to get the message out that God is still in the business of using broken people to do big things.
You know, Pastor Furtick, we're all, you know, looking at your showroom, and we're pretty jacked about what we see. God's doing a lot of things through your ministry and a lot of things through Elevation Church. And the bottom line is your showroom is ridiculously impressive. Surely you don't battle feeling unqualified. I mean, you've kind of arrived. You're the man, the Elevation's jamming, everything you do turns to gold. You don't feel unqualified, do you?
I think there's two extremes in this conversation, and one is to pretend in a way like I don't recognize my success. I do recognize that God gave me a gift to connect with people, and we've seen great results. I'm not here to downplay any of that or to demean who I am or to present an image that every week before I get up on stage, I'm curled in the fetal position, you know, that I'm having to use illegal drugs just to cope with the pressure. Yeah. I have a blessed life. I have a blessed family. I have a blessed church. I love my team. And a lot of things have gone really well for us in the decade that we started this church. What I'm trying to say in the message of unqualified is that I expected certain sensations to accompany that success that never came. Here's what I mean. I thought that you would graduate past the point of wondering, when I preach this weekend, am I going to have anything to say? I mean, I've preached hundreds of sermons now, man. I should be able to stand up on that stage and know that those people came to hear me and not have the doubt of wondering whether it's going to connect this time, yet I still feel it. And in some ways, I feel it even more. Here's the only way I can explain that, whether it's in my leadership or my preaching or any of that. As you're making progress in an area of your life, your standard is hopefully getting higher and higher. So I'm not comparing myself today to where I was 10 years ago. If I did that, I'd probably feel like, hey, I can pull it off. I've arrived. But because my desire is to press toward the mark, and because my desire is to increase my capacity, and because my desire is to fulfill my calling and discharge the duties that God has given me and multiply it, not just maintain it, yeah, I still feel unqualified because you know what? I've never been this way before. I've never been at this altitude before. All the challenges are new to me because the challenges of success are just as great, if not greater, than some of the challenges of failure or stagnation. Because it's one thing to wonder if you have what it takes to make a difference, but it's another thing to wonder, can I keep making a difference? Can I do it again? So we're all dealing with it. I'm telling you, whether it's somebody who's never had tangible success and they're wondering what it's like to succeed, or whether it's someone who succeeded to a level and a lot of people have accomplished a lot more than me and maybe some haven't accomplished some of the things that I've accomplished yet. We're all at different places. But the higher up you go, the farther down you look and you go, oh man, can I do this? Can I continue to do it? Do I have what it takes? That question never goes away. Do I have what it takes? Do I have what it takes? And if you can get that in your heart today, leader, no matter what level you're at right now, that you are not going to cross over a line and suddenly feel like you're there. It's a matter of progress and realizing that none of us have crossed over into the place where we no longer have those insecurities. It's a matter of us learning how to manage them, how to channel them in productive ways. And if you set yourself free from the expectation that you're going to feel a sensation called arrival, then you're well on your way to being able to make real progress and accept the point you're at on the way to where you're going.
Mm. And folks, this doesn't just apply to lead pastors. And Pastor Furt, this is also for ministry leaders, for volunteers, for their congregations as well, right?
Yeah, of course. It's a message for everybody. And I'm glad you said that, because when I wrote the book and I titled it after something that a pastor had said about me, I wondered, is this a narrow message? Will this just relate to leaders? Like, is that something that only people who are like in a public ministry go through? So I started running it by some moms. I said, hey, unqualified, would you want to read a book about that? And I would watch their reaction. Like, it's what I feel like every day. I see what other moms pin on Pinterest that they did with their kids, and I feel like a failure because my kids are still in their pajamas at noon. I look at what other people have been able to accomplish outside of the home. I mean, it was not just from moms. It was from men. It was from people who seem to be having a successful climb, but there's still an area of their life where they're feeling, not from a YouTube clip maybe, but from this internal voice that's telling them, you know, you sound stupid, right? You know, nobody cares what you have to say. You know, this is all going to fall apart. You know that everybody knows that you have no idea what you're doing. You know that you don't have the information is coming at us all the time. And so we're all dealing with it. Maybe I could say it like this. We're all fighting the same battle. We're just fighting it in different arenas. Mm-hmm. Some of us more publicly, some of us in ministry professionally, some of us in internal places. We all know something about ourselves, something that may be exposed only to us, that we fear that if everybody else knew it, that surely they wouldn't want to connect with us. Yet those weaknesses are the very ways that God most often uses us to connect with people deeply.
Mm. You know, looking at the tagline of the book, it says how God uses broken people to do big things. And I can't help to internalize that. And maybe as you heard my voice just then, those of you listening in, you did the same thing. You internalized it and you thought about those broken times in your life. Pastor Furtick, how did you come up with that tagline specifically?
It was a matter of deciding whether I wanted to open up this idea that the Bible characters we emulate and the Bible characters that we glorify and deify were pretty jacked up across the board. I just couldn't get away from it. Once I started looking in the Bible and really looking at Moses and like looking at the real dirt underneath his fingernails, not only from shepherding sheep, but the blood under his fingernails from the Egyptian that he killed, and realizing that it was a murderer and a fugitive who was on the run that God called to lead people out of captivity. I was studying about Jacob, the patriarch, the one that the nation of Israel came through, the one who lied, the one who cheated, the one who deceived, the one who frankly isn't very likable in many pages of Scripture. That's who God brought the nation through? That he chose unstable Peter to say, you're the rock I'm going to build my church on? And I felt like, how can we allow people to suffer through their lives waiting on a day when they're going to experience this completion that's going to enable them to fulfill their calling? I wanted people to realize that you have more in common with your heroes than you think you do. You have more in common often with the people that God greatly uses than you tell yourself you do. And I feel like the word broken can come across kind of negative. I was resistant to call it broken people. Mm-hmm. But there's this great quote from a songwriter named Leonard Cohen, and I put it in the front of the book. He said, there's a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. Wow. I love that imagery because it means that it's the places in me that aren't put together yet that God is going to shine through. And you know, Chris, when I'm preaching, a lot of times I think I'm going to impress people with the deep things I say. Hopefully I say something that's profound once in the sermon that's worth writing down, something I studied, maybe something I stumbled upon. But when people meet me, you know what they thank me for? They go, hey, thanks for being real. Thanks for telling that story about the time you blew up at your kids. Thanks for telling us how you struggle. And I realized that that's where real ministry happens, in the broken places. And what we've created in the body of Christ often is this, I think, subconscious idea that there is a class of Christians that God can use. And you know, in the scripture, Jesus walked right past those people. They were called the Pharisees. They were the ones that were expected to uphold the religious standard. And Jesus went right past them for the ones that nobody else would have given a second look. So I'm on the lookout for those people, both in our staff and our team. You know, often as leaders, we don't recognize what God has put around us, and we don't build teams because we only see the pieces and we can't see the big picture and the little pieces. And so the more we realize that God is into using frail people, weak people, people who are in process, people who are in progress, the sooner we can let go of our standard, our ideal, the incomplete image that we have of what God can use, and start working what we have where we are, we're gonna begin to see progress in our lives. But as long as we're prisoners of our imagination of the kind of person God can use, we're always gonna stay stuck in some idea of the kind of person that can fulfill a calling. That's where my heart is, Chris. I feel like we need to let people know that who you are is by design. God is not only not surprised by your deficiencies, but he has great plans to use them to lead you to your destiny.
You know, I think back to the Levine Center days, and we're running about 150 people or so at the time, or at least at my service, it was about 100 people or so. And I could remember this 26-year-old man who was leading worship and then was doing the welcome and then was picking his guitar back up, leading another set, and then picking up his Bible and was delivering the sermon. And then afterwards, putting away round tables. And that was you. And I remember the passion that you spoke. And then I think about walking through the hallways of churches all over this country and the current role that I do. And I see the folks' demeanor who are walking in, and they've got their head down. They're trying not to be noticed. They're kind of looking at, they're trying to be anonymous. They're checking in their kids as quietly as possible. They're sitting in the back row, not at your church, but they'd sit in the back row at most churches. And I'm thinking about that image. And then I'm thinking about the folks that I see in conferences all the time who are probably listening to this broadcast. And I know they've been called to ministry in a unique way, like I was, a real estate broker minding his own business, and next thing you know, you find yourself doing a role that you feel professionally unqualified for.
Right.
How important is this message for all demographics, not just those in the seats, but also those in the volunteer position, those as ministry leaders and lead pastors, everyone, and the resources that are available with this book? How could this change the trajectory of an entire church?
Great question, and that is our ministry. Mm-hmm. Our ministry is to announce to people that there is a part for you to play. You'd be shocked, leaders, how many people God has deposited in your church who have convinced themselves that they have nothing to offer. And the more you can create room for them to experience the thrill of being used by God. I mean, when we ask people to volunteer in our church, we're not just trying to get something set up or torn down. If we are, shame on us. We're trying to get people connected to the idea that they can serve God's purpose through something small, through something that seems insignificant. And once they taste that in one area of their life, it's a matter of time before it's going to affect their family, affect their business. It's going to affect their psyche. It's going to affect the way they parent. And that's how we change the world, is by, this is a phrase that we used early on, Chris. We would just talk all the time about seeing people from the perspective of their potential. And I don't believe that many people are able to see their potential, either because they're so focused on their pain or their past. And it may not be that they did something so horrible in the past, but most of the time people are in survival mode. Man, they're coming to our churches and they're hoping that the preacher dispenses something hopeful, or maybe they're hoping it'll give them good God luck for them to show up that week. And we get to stand up and call them into a mission. We get to do what Jesus did. Peter wasn't in seminary class when Jesus called him. Peter was washing his nets because he fished all night and caught nothing. He wasn't even on a winning streak. I'm not saying he wasn't a good fisherman, but he didn't have a good night. And it was in that moment of failure and feeling unproductive that Peter was ripe for Jesus to say, hey, man, can I use your boat? Can I use what you have that you might not see the full significance in to do what I came to do? And we get to stand in the as leaders, whether we're in the pulpit or whether we're leading in another capacity, in any capacity, and offer people that invitation to be used by God. You want to see your church set on fire. You want to see your ministry area set on fire. You want to see your kids come alive. Give them a glimpse of their potential that may have been obscured in their life. Because I'm telling you, they spend so much time in their own head hearing their excuses and their reasons and their limitations. When you can come along and be a voice and say, I believe God has something greater in mind for you. I believe there's something we can do together that will exceed our imaginations. You are going to be a fresh sound, and I think God's going to increase, not only increase the number of people you can reach, but the depth of impact that you have. That's our business, is getting people to believe that God believes in them and to see where God has called them and to give them a step to take into it. That's what we do.
Yeah, I wanted to make sure I got you on here on the to talking about this specific subject, because that's exactly what you just said is exactly what's happened in my life. I was a season where I was feeling very unqualified, and you showed me that my God has qualified me, and that you spoke that out in me, and then you showed me, and then not just once, but not just twice, but months and months and months, and it turned into years. And that's what I really feel like. This is one of the biggest things holding the church back. And so I want everyone at all churches all across the country to feel qualified, and this resource, obviously, will help with that. Again, folks, I'm sure you probably, most of you listening in already know about this book because it's such a hot item, but the book is called Unqualified, and it is, the tagline is how God uses broken people to do big things, and it means a lot to me personally. Pastor Furtick, it's an extreme honor to have you on the podcast, and I'm very, very thankful for you. You are a godsend in my life, and I honor you publicly.
Wow. Thank you, Chris. And if I may, before we have to go, just say that your life is a living epistle, an example of what I'm saying in this book, that there are so many experiences that you've had personally that you could have used not only as an excuse, but you could have almost used as a tombstone to bury your hope. But look at how God is using you today. The fact that there is this podcast is proof that the message of this book is true. And I want to thank you for being not only a living example of that and being a proof of that, but also offering that hope to others. I think it's absolutely amazing how God is using you. Very, very thankful and proud to watch what God is doing through you. I think it's absolutely incredible. And I'm just really filled with gratitude about it. It's an honor to watch you soar, man. I think your best is ahead, and I'm really thankful for where God has put you and how he's using you.
Thank you, Pastor.
All right. Love you, Chris. Bye.
Well, I told you the motive behind this month's podcast, and I pray that you were encouraged. You know, as I listened to that discussion, I can't help but think of all of you that I've met in cities all around America over the last couple years, over the last decade, really. And I think about the insecurity that we all have. You heard me right. We all have. Whether you're a lead pastor or ministry leader or somewhere in between, we just need to admit it. We don't feel like we're qualified. And it's so much more freeing to just call out that we feel unqualified and that we're insecure than to cover up that we're insecure. So let's just do it. Let's be a community that just calls it out. We're insecure. We feel unqualified. That's so freeing. And let's be a community that ministers to each other in that and encourage each other. As you go into the summer, and you're beginning to dream, you're thinking about the fall, that next big ministry season, and you're saying, oh man, here's where we're headed. Here's what we're doing. Again, looking forward, you're either feeling discouraged because the future doesn't look real bright for your ministry, or you feel very intimidated. I want you to know that this book is available. That this book is available for you during those discouraging moments to go back and kind of thumb through it and go, no, that's not true. I am qualified. I am called. I can do this. And so I want you to know that it's available to you, okay? The book came out on March 1st. Again, it's called Unqualified, How God Uses Broken People to Do Big Things. Okay, Pastor Furtick talks all about discoveries that he's made while obviously wrestling with questions about self-acceptance and self-improvement. He shares the answers that he's found in Scripture that have helped him reconcile who he is compared to who he's meant to be. And this is a resource for those who are struggling with the gap between their present reality and their hope for the future. It encourages, it inspires, and I love the line he has in there. It says, God can't bless who we pretend to be. So that's the link for all that information there for Unqualified is all found at stewardshipcentral.org. And I want to encourage you, that website, we have designed that website for you. It's a website that is for you. It has sermons on there from, it's got Robert Morris on there and Andy Stanley on there and Bill Hybels on there. All of these incredible resources, articles, sermons. It's a great website. And if you're not going there, shame on you. It is there for you, and a lot of time and a lot of energy and a lot of money has gone into that site for you guys to be able to enjoy. So, folks, I hope you have been encouraged by my conversation with Pastor Stephen Furtick. Again, find everything that you need about Unqualified at stewardshipcentral.org. And as you might be looking for a little bit of encouragement in whatever season you may be in, then you do not want to miss this year's Stewardship Conference happening right here in Nashville, May 16, May 17, and May 18. At this year's conference, you'll get a clear vision for what stewardship ministry is and how it can transform your church. You'll learn how to take stress out of budgeting. Anybody out there feel a little bit of stress when it comes to budgets? You'll learn how to do that. You'll gain confidence around preaching and teaching about money. I know speaking to several of you out there, you have a tough time with that, about even bringing it up. And we're going to talk about the best practices when it comes to that. Also going to learn keys to financially discipling people on all income levels, not just those who are struggling financially, but those who are wealthy too. How do we do that, and how do we do that well? And you're also going to hear how stewardship is, it's not just another ministry, but actually it's the only ministry that there is that pays for itself. So make sure you come out, join us this year, use the promo code MOMENTUM for $50 off any registration price. For all details, go to stewardshipcentral.org. I pray that you were encouraged on this month's episode of Leadership Momentum Podcast, brought to you by Ramsey Solutions. I am your host, Chris Brown. We can stay connected at Chris Brown On Air on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. It has been my pleasure. God bless you.
Thanks for joining us for the Leadership Momentum Podcast with Chris Brown, brought to you by Ramsey Solutions. If you'd like to learn how other leaders are reclaiming biblical stewardship, head over to stewardshipcentral.org. Loved what you heard today and didn't want to miss another episode? Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. While you're there, share your feedback by leaving a review. Finally, stay up to date with Chris Brown, including his daily radio show and podcast, Chris Brown's True Stewardship, on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram by following at Chris Brown On Air. On behalf of your host, Chris Brown, and the team at Ramsey Solutions, thanks for joining us for the Leadership Momentum Podcast.